Now, the guitar, the tone sounds a bit... It's a bit Big Summer for me, actually.
Big Summer for me!
When the tour went pro, someone you originally going to be a first single off Thousand Yard, is that right?
Well, David Williams really liked it. He wanted it on the record, yeah.
It didn't even end up on the record.
Didn't end up on the record. But that, yeah, so that's from that, again, may have been one of the demos we did for Polydor, but or for Universal. But, yeah, that's from the Thousand Yard Stare era. And Doctor and Doug were just massively into golf around that period, so I wrote a golf-based song for them. And, yeah. So, yeah, but, you know, thwarted ambition, a lot of the old Fovian themes there. I always liked I really liked the line or the couplet, When the tour went pro, your dad offered us a low interest loan. I said, "Sorry, dude, I don't want to be rude, but I got to do this on my own." Yeah, I was really like that. That's really funny. So yeah.
Did you just fun to come up with that? Was there any reason for that inspiration? But,
I remember laughing to myself, thinking this is funny. Yeah.
Welcome back to Foves Are the Best People. I'm your host, John, and we have returning co-host, Michael. Hello, Michael.
Oh, hello there, John, and hello to all of you wonderful Foves fans, great listeners.
There, perfect. What song are we reviewing today, Michael?
We're getting into the third song of a very unique single of Good Times Coming called When the Tour Went Pro.
When the Tour Went Pro. Also track one on Prefer Others, if I'm not mistaken.
So it is too.
They obviously thought quite a lot. That's a big call to put it up front, you know, instead of Carter Brown's or...
I can see why they did it. It's, we're later on as we're getting through this exciting adventure of talking about this song, and I'm hoping there are so many others on this episode. It's very well production quality, and I mean, I know the Thousand Yard Stare B-sides were as well, and there are surely better songs, because I'm going to say this isn't the best song in the world, but it is very close to the best song in the world.
Wow.
Maybe nearly put it up there. For the Foves world, in the world of the Foves, in a closed-off Foves world, bubble, or being whatever the word is when you're just liking that person or that band, being
enthralled. In love?
I don't know. Just biased, yeah. I can see why they do that. There's just something about, as I'm saying, on every of these B-sides, this whole single in one package, Good Times Coming is different and it fits on the album, but these three just got this certain production thing going and unique sound and stuff like that. So I'm a huge fan of the song, even though I didn't say it was close. I said it's close to best song in the world, so it's pretty awesome. And you love the song too, John, is that correct?
Yeah, I do. I quite like it. I like it a lot. I like it a lot, as they say in Dumb and Dumber or whatever. It's good. It's the best B-side on the single.
It is.
Yeah. Tell us, just while we're talking about Prefer Others, we got that at the Thousands show at the East Brunswick Club. Is that right?
That is very correct. I'm not sure if they sold it. Yeah, I'm sure they would have sold it. It wasn't a giveaway, was it?
I was going to ask you. I thought it was. Either we got it maybe on the way in or on the way out. I don't think. I think it came with it. Pretty sure.
I think it did came with the show, and that's a really good The Thousandth show. I think we've already inserted that audio where Coxie talks about The Thousandth show banter. Yes. But that was a very unique show because, to me, it was 2007, and it was before When Good Times Go Good.
Yeah.
There you go, that album. I always thought it was funny they called that up and thinking of Good Times
Coming. Yeah.
Anyway, my point being, there'd been a lot of good albums released 2 years apart, and it was just a very good sort of era. And it was just exciting because by that time, the self-titled The Foves album and Nervous Flashlights didn't have singles, so it was a time where you could, well, we're not going to have any more B-sides, so let's put the thing out now.
And Jack came on at the end, the encore, to play three-piece, I think. Is that right?
Yeah. And you know what's so funny about that? For all the listeners out there, we've been privileged, and we love to hear about your Fove stories too, whether you've just spoken to them a few times, they might not have remembered you or whatever, but I mean, we've been there at all the shows over the years, and once at my house in my backyard, I've invited them, as you know, up on YouTube, and twice at John's house. And when we had them at my house, it was great because it was just Doctor and Coxie, and we're just having chats with them in small groups, because it's not like they're at a gig and they have to pack up or they're tired because, you know, they were outside in the cold, poor guys, but they were in the fresh air, but they were having some beers and it was comfortable home. And Doctor saying, I love this place. But Doctor is saying something about Jackie. He goes, oh, it's just embarrassing, you know, when we play three piece and Jack wants to get up there and play. Now, I'm not sure if you're going to have to edit that out or cut that out or whatever, because I'm not sure whether Doctor and Jack's listening to it or other good friends, but it's not a, I don't know. I'll leave that to you, but it's not a bitchy thing, but it was just, yeah.
I can always put it on the Tangents episodes. That's fine.
Mm.
But, when the tour went pro, Michael, where do you want to start off, lyrics or music?
I'll start off with just sort of an introduction of just how I feel about the song, thoughts, and then I'll get right into the music. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, obviously jump in if you need to make an extra note on that. But I do love this song like all the other B-sides on this single. I enjoy the simplistic songwriting and like the sound as a whole, as we'll be hearing me sort of repeat, you know, from Aim to Please, and then I may say similar things in the last song, The Big Rethink.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like I can see why this is maybe their last single, because the focus further on was just about songs for the whole big picture, and we'll probably talk about this in the next single too, next B-side, last B-side, mm-hmm. the B-sides. But basically, it's like a little mini album because mm-hmm. I can anticipate the next song coming. So Good Times Coming, not so much, but when I hear Aim to Please, I know the tour went pro is going to come up next before that ends. And then same with when the tour went pro, I know the big rethink comes back. And I just feel like this in the middle is a good one because it is my favorite too out of the three B-sides. And yeah, and it ends off really well with a big rethink. But music. So there's just something about this nice, simple, a quick intro. It's going to go to that super quick intro, a verse, chorus, verse, chorus, beautiful bridge, chord change, and then a verse and a chorus. And then it's just going to end with this beautiful da-da-da-da with the guitar sounds. It's simplistic guitars, and it's got a similar keyboard sort of to the others, I think. I'll have to think about that. Kind of tacky, but I like it.
The intro is a bit lo-fi. The intro sounds like it's in a cupboard again. I don't know if that's deliberate or not, but
yeah, and I like that. Mm-hmm. And then it comes into this because it's like this small thing and it's bringing into this big thing. Well, when you hear those keyboards going, making that certain cool, unique sound that you're just not going to hear them play that live. You'll hear the classics of Nairobi Notes and Give Up Your Day Job, but nothing, never hear this, that sound or this live. And if they played it live, who knows if they would do keyboards. And the guitar's got a lot of cool riffage and muting throughout it, and just a nice keyboard sound change in the bridge to break up that change when you are putting in a bridge middle eight, like a change to the structure in that towards that middle or the end of the song. It's great when you do change sounds and that to get the listener to go, oh cool, and then we're going to go back into what's familiar and we've got something this unique artistic structured square 4x4, but that beautiful middle section doing something different with the change of a sound. And it's got a sizzling moving kind of keyboard effect, not so much panned to the left and the right, but sort of shoo. And Coxie sings a bit out of tune like he does out of in Aim to Please, and I think the big rethink, not in a bad way, not being nice. Gosh, this is hard, you know. We're like we're not being harsh, but it's beautiful. And you can hear him using the vocoder. Yeah. Yeah. Is it? No, that's in the next one. Oh, yeah. No, I'm mixing up with Big Rethink. But yeah, but he does sort of. Anyway, that's my thing about the music. What about, are you going to talk about the chord changes and things?
Yeah. So it's in the key of A, I guess. When the two went pro, A, and then D. So A, D in the verse. And when it's going to be hot, it goes up to B. But I can sleep in the car, I'll be a wafer. Then to A and then D. So three chords, A, D, A, D, B, A, D. And the strumming, I think, is it a bit like Dirt Bike Option? It's just on the A for a while. When the two went, the vocal.
Yeah, it is a bit, yeah.
Like it's pretty straightforward, just songwriting 101. And then the chorus, drum, slammer, drum, slammer, drum, slammer, is A.
Yeah.
And then down to F sharp. A, F sharp, forget if major or minor. Need a little rubber in the car park, yeah. A, F sharp, minor, I think. And then F, E, 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 A, D, 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 back to the verse.
Yeah.
And the bridge, I think, goes up to an A, then when the dream may be over, E, A, B, D, B.
That's sweet. It's out of tune a bit.
Is that really good? Out of tune? Okay, yeah.
Yeah, sorry. Keep going. Sorry, yeah.
Then the verse break has different chords, the bit that goes after the bridge, and then it's a break. It does, and then that's when you hear the keyboard bleeping a bit. Yeah, like bleep, bleep, bleep,
bleep, bleep, yeah, bleep, bleep, sizzling it.
Which is probably Ted's Pro One, I think. I don't think it's a a cheap Yamaha sound, but yeah, it doesn't overstay its welcome. Whatever that synthy bit is.
Yeah, no, not at all.
And that's it. Yeah. So songwriting. I think it's in standard tuning. It sounds like that to me.
Same does, yeah.
I had here that the music, the intro, it reminded me, oh, is this going to be like a Suitcase of Carter Brown's type song? But that's the only, they're the only really notes I've got on the music.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, me too. I wish when you talk about the keyboard sounds that if there was a professional looking at the dissecting all the equipment, what sort of effects they're using on the guitars and the keyboards, that would be great to hear, but anyway, sorry if we're disappointing you, not going into detail on that, whether you want that dive on these songs. Who knows what the listeners want, but we just love the Fauves. and these songs.
So songwriting, it's in the key of A. It seems to be quite straightforward, although you're going from F sharp down to F, which isn't naturally in the key of A, I don't think. A music nerd would probably say that. But, yeah, it's a straight pop song, really. It's not quite Dirt Bike Option, but it's pretty good. It's the best on the single.
No.
Yeah.
So the chords, pretty straightforward. There's a verse intro, it's just A and D. Pretty sure this is standard tuning, maybe three finger chords, power chords, you know? A, D, D, when the two went pro, D, D, A. Both agreed I had to give it a go, D, and then B. Gonna be hot, but I can sleep in the car, down to A, but I'll be away for weeks in a row. And then the chorus, A, F sharp major probably, but a power chord.
So,
A, F sharp, A, F sharp, Mr. Press Conference had another bad round, F, 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 E, E, E. A, D, D, back to the verse. When the two went pro, D, D, A. Dad offered us a low interest loan, D, D. You know it, you love it, then the chorus again. And then I think the bridge is E, A. Then maybe when my dream is over, get my job back at the closure. And then the bridge, I'm not entirely sure. I think it's E, A, B, D, B, A, E. This is the bridge that says, maybe when my dream is over, get my job back at the clothes shop. Maybe it's E, maybe it's E, A, dream is B, over, get my job D at the clothes shop. Shifting Brassman, A and King Cobra. E-A-A-A-A-B-E-D, out of my range. Then the verse again, and then the chorus.
My dream tour day is go to the cinema and then go to the gig. Okay. I love that. I find that so pleasant.
I don't find I have time to do any stuff.
Well, you have other things in your life, Richard.
I don't really. Not when I'm on tour, I don't. Yeah. I mean, I quite like tour. I think it's because I can, now if I'm on tour, I can like just stay in bed. I will still wake up at 6:30 regardless.
Yeah.
But I can stay in bed and I can poodle around. I'll go and look at some shops. I don't really ever. I went to see in Portsmouth, I went to see the Mary Rose.
Yeah.
And then I thought I should do more stuff like this.
Yeah.
That was amazing. Right? Yeah.
My partner, Amy Annette, has been doing tour support for me and she was like, why don't we go and do something specific to this city? And I was like, nah, I'm going to watch Paddington 2. which I did do in York. And she's like, don't you want to go and see the cathedral? And I was like, I've actually only seen Paddington 2 on an airplane. Quite like the big screen experience. And so she was like, you're going to see a children's film that you have seen before instead of seeing York Cathedral. And I was like, I've seen York Cathedral. I've never seen York Cathedral. But like, my thing is like, I like to go to a fancy coffee shop. I like to go get some nice food.
Yeah.
And let me tell you something. When I am on tour, the second-hand record shop owners of the United Kingdom and Dublin must see an immediate violent spike in their sales. My tour manager the other day was like, are you trying to spend the money you earned from last night in one go? That was on a particularly good trip because we went to Rough Trade in Bristol and then also Spillers in Cardiff. Spillers in Cardiff, if you like collecting records, Spillers in Cardiff is fucking great. There's really, really good stuff in there. Oh, God. And Vinyl Exchange in Manchester and Piccadilly Records are almost down the road from each other. You can walk there from Idle Hands, which is a coffee shop that serves the best pie in the world. God. Fucking love my job. I fucking love it. Sometimes you get to the gig and you're like, oh, I forgot about this.
Lyrics now, Mike.
Yeah,
lyrics. It's about golf, yeah? Well, some of it's about going on a golf tour.
I didn't get all the lyrics. Like, I didn't... I'm sure you've sent me the documents of all the lyrics of pretty much all the songs, and I just write up what I could hear.
Okay.
Just a quick snapshot, and then we can dissect them and you can talk about the golf and that. I can see it's just a fun being in a young band, like the first big tour or anything. It doesn't have to be such a band. It could be that golf tour or a team. Like when you actually do mention golf to me, it reminds me of two golf sort of a series and a movie that I watched. There's is it Happy Gilmore too? And then there was a Owen Wilson who did something on, it's on Apple TV Plus. His name is called Sticks because he got the name Stick because he's really good with the golf and he's training some 17-year-old. And anyway, that makes me think about golf, but they're both really funny and really good. And they're both about the whole, they're whacking the golf ball so miles and miles away. And it's getting so close. Like they're just these amazing players. I don't know anything about golf. But I do know someone when I go for a walk out in the oval, cause I've got to do some walks and stuff and it's soft grass and that, and there's this guy out with the golf thing and he's hitting a few and I found a golf ball here and there. But anyway, we're going off on the tangents.
We're officially on a tangent.
Yeah, getting into trouble, like delinquently kind of. We're kind of young. We're on the big tour when the tour went professional now. It's the first time. We're having pride to not take money from our parents and realizing that classic line, your dad offered us a low interest loan. Yeah. And I said, sorry, dude, I don't mean to be rude. I've got to make it here on my own. And realizing that it'll all be over and back to reality with a simple, boring, low paying job as we're going to get on to the, go back to the clothes shop job. So that's in a nutshell what I get out of it, but I'd love you to please decorate it and other listeners, more what you hear about the golf and line by line.
Yeah, we've probably put in the clip. I think Coxie mentioned that at the time Adam was getting into golf, or Ted. So that was the basic impetus for the song. Obviously, you know, it's now a good year or so since they've left Polydor. So you're always tempted to think about, you know, this is a commentary on them leaving it. They're on their own now. And they're back to where they were in 93. They're with an independent and having to front up money themselves.
Yeah.
So, when the tour went pro, we both agreed I had to give it a go. So who's the we in that? Is that Doctor and Coxie? Or I said, it's going to be hot, but I can sleep in the car. I'll be away for weeks in a row. It can be hot in the... yeah, it's going to be summer, I guess.
I thought he said it's going to be hard, as in like terms of financial stuff.
Oh, right.
That's why they had to sleep in the car.
Oh, maybe. Yeah, you could be right. I thought I said it's going to be hot, but you reckon he says hard. Ah. It's going to be hot, but I can sleep in the car with the air conditioning. I thought that's what he may have meant. Okay. The chorus, drum center, drum slammer. Is that right? Drum center.
I'm
drum,
not sure
drum,
that's what.
Drum slammer.
Can't get it.
Yeah.
Can't get it. Yeah.
Shout out to our friend Jerry in America who has Hazel Shud drums and cymbals. Shout out to them. If you're an American, you want some rare cymbals and tom-toms, he's your man. And maybe even drum tech out in Northcote near Dougie.
And Adam and Doug really liked the lyric too. They love the idea. Mm. Like, because they read this book, A Good Walk Spoiled, which was written by some golfer. And he used to talk about a trunk slammer, like a bad round of golf as a trunk slammer. Yeah.
I thought you were singing drum center, drum center, drum center.
No, it's trunk slammer. Slammer. So it's like you put the club, you've played a shit round, you put the clubs in the boot and slam the trunk. Yeah. So a bad round is called a trunk slammer.
That's amazing. It's finally good to hear that after all these years. Gee.
Need a little rubber in the car park. Yeah. Mr. Press Conference had another bad round. So, you know, is it a new golfer that's having to front the media circus? Dark sunglasses at the airport now.
Uh-huh.
Whenever I hear the word dark sunglasses, I always think of the word green sunglasses man who, we're on a tangent here, Michael. That's what they called Kemlani during the Whitlam affair. He used to wear green sunglasses and he was this shady Middle Eastern financier. And Laurie Oakes wrote in an article that these dodgy people were trying to offer the Whitlam government billions of dollars and it was all dodgy. And they called him Green Sunglasses Man. which were then the 70s. When the tour went pro, your dad offered us a low-interest loan. You've mentioned that before, Michael. So I immediately think of Big Summer for me, you know, washing the cars.
And yeah.
They do that a few times. And Extra Virgin, I think, talking about the old man. Now they've left Polydor. Doctor obviously got some money off his dad for when Mood has passed, I think. So they're back having to survive on the smell of an oily rag now. Heard you had trouble back there at the golf course. Your kids got a lot to learn. And then you say, yeah, a bit about going back into retail, yeah? Get a job going to retail. Yeah. Go back to Brassman and King Cobra.
Ah, that's not what it is. Yeah. Okay.
Brassman and King Cobra. It seems to be an old T-shirt or something.
Mm-hmm.
I've recently done a B-side of Glomesh that you didn't join us on, and we were talking about Doctor and Clothes Glomesh. So, yeah, when the tour went pro, two under the cart, hold it to go. The caddy sent three, but I said, look under those trees. Big garden over I go. So he's just projecting he's going to have a good swing, I guess. Yeah, that's all I really had for the lyrics, yeah.
I'm just going to say that, like, people could have heard me maybe laughing in the background unless you muted me out or something. What I was laughing about, I thought I'd let you finish, when we're talking about Adam and Ted, I thought it was Doctor getting into the golf because it just reminded me of, and we'll have to insert this Coxie banter in there somewhere, when the Foves played it at a three-piece at the SB either in 2009 or 2010. I can never remember which one. And he goes, Doctor's not, like, here, he's out, you know, and he's just sort of joking. And then he's going, no, he snapped his Achilles tendon or something playing golf. That's what I don't know if it was playing golf, but I remember that. And it's just making me laugh because I'm sort of having a few kind of issues around the Achilles, ankles, feet sort of area and stuff. And I'm having to go to the oval and exercise and walk backwards to do all his crazy stuff and rest and everything. And then I see this guy playing a golf ball. So there's just sort of a bit of a connection there for me. But yeah, that's what I was laughing about. And I also just going to make the point of when we did, we're not sure whether it's going to be hot or hard. Yeah. Like, if it's going to be hot, why would you be in the car? Like, I'd think you'd be in the car because it's going to be hard. We're not going to have enough money or something. But that's just how my brain was going with the lyrics. But
no, you could be right.
Yeah.
Or maybe there's air conditioning in the car and not there's no air conditioning in the motel. I don't know. But it's probably
Okay.
Who knows? Mm-hmm. So I lump this in thematically with Big Summer for me, actually, because the references to the dad and just going out there on your own and trying to be a bit entrepreneurial. Yeah, so when the tour went pro, we've now ticked all the boxes. We've got a song, Why the River Runs, by Coxie. We've got What's 5 Cents By, and now we've got When. So during the course of the rest of the podcast, we'll see if Coxie has a song about who to complete the what, where, when, why.
Yeah. Ah, good thinking.
Also, Coxie mentioned a book or a video about golf that he referenced. I think he said it's called A Good Walk Ruined. So I Googled that, A Good Walk Ruined. I wasn't quite sure which book he was talking about, but it says, A Good Walk Ruined is a famous saying most commonly attributed to Mark Twain, although the exact origin is debated, which humorously suggests that golf spoils an otherwise enjoyable walk by adding an element of frustrating and difficult play to the activity of walking. The expression reflects a critical view of the sport, focusing on the frustration and potential futility that players can experience, despite the exercise and fresh air that the game provides. So there you go. That's all I've got to say about this song, Mike. It's some of the lyrics were a bit confusing in the last verse.
Yeah.
But the song I like. I love the music, and I'm just happy to let the lyrics wash over me. Like a Doctor song, I don't really care about the meaning so much, but a few lines in it, like, oh, yeah, that's cool. And I like the song. It's nifty.
I love it too, and I like, same. There's things I don't need to worry about what they mean, and it's fun to have the mystery or try and figure it out, especially if we're going to talk about the song. We've got to dive right into it, and we're there. And I don't have much more to say about this song. We've said so much, such a lot, and we've given it a good send-off in terms of, wow, getting not kind of really in the middle because there's four songs, but the middle of the three B-sides leading on to the big rethink, getting towards our end of the B-side. So thank you very much, John. I'm loving it. I'm so glad I'm still here with all these amazing songs of the Foves.
Thank you very much, Michael. Thanks for joining us as always on the podcast where we talk exclusively about the Foves.
voice.
I said to the news director the day I started here, I said, hey, I'm a TV personality 5 days a week. The other 2 days, I'm a private person.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. And that is why I said no to this weekend.
What's this weekend?
Celebrity Golf Day.
Yeah, I said no too.
What happened to the bus tours?
Oh, we're still, yeah, we were organising them through the Arts Centre here. But we started them in 2013 as part of the Leaps and Bounds Festival. So it was at the time it was just Richmond, Collingwood and Fitzroy. And then when the Music Vault opened, we became like, and we drive around Melbourne and talk about Melbourne as the as a music city and the history. So, yeah, we're things. One of my favourite moments of actually doing the bus, Bruce was actually overseas and I got, and I had Dave Graney and Claire Moore as my guest, and we were driving down Chapel Street, sort of near where Old Platinum Studios was. The we see Nick Cave and everyone in the on the bus, because it's Dave and Claire doing the bus tour, they think that we actually set it up. So Nick Cave was spotted on the bus tour, and I thought that was great. And I just let everyone believe that we had that.
You know, that's amazing.
I would set that up.
Well, why won't you ever play, do you think?
Saying to our partners, I'm off for the day to go do some recreation for 8 hours. I couldn't get that past my wife. I also, like, my thing with it is it's like smoking for me. It's all right if you took it up when you're a teenager in your early 20s. But if you take it up in your 40s, come on, like, do something else. Like, also, I'm very happy to go if my friends say, hey, do you want to go for a walk in the park? Great. Let's not pretend like I and golf. Also, I had someone, a dad at the school, ask me if I want to do jujitsu. I'm like, that is an aggressive way to say, do you want to hug me? Or it's all right, mate. We can do something else. But that's and it's my own hang-ups. But like you said, doing something for yourself is really important.
Welcome to Lee Carvello's Putting Challenge. I am Carvello. Now choose a club. You have chosen a 3-wood. May I suggest a putter? 3-wood. Now enter the force of your swing. I suggest feather touch. You have entered power drive. Now push 7, 8, 7 to swing. Ball is in. Parking lot. Would you like to play again? You have selected no.